inch by inch, row by row. Andy Lopez makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk, and don't panic, it's organic.
Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic, every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/Don't Panic, It's Organic.
Hang on, here we go. Another second. That's it. Relax, here we go. Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Put the music in the background there. Let me know if it's too loud or not loud enough, whatever. Today we're going to be doing all kinds of things. I'm going to talk to you about more about bricks. I'm going to give you three of my secret products that I use to make my stuff. And then I'm going to also talk to you about a major source where I get my rock dust from. So don't go away, right? So that song is called Dreaming. As you know, I do my own music. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. Just started doing it. I found a great program, a computerized program. It's called Acid Music, believe it or not. Okay, so let's see. Before we start on that, I just want to... Inch by Inch is done by Deborah Wolf. Thank you, Deborah. I'm going to have her back on again as a guest. And I was trying to get her on as a co-host. I'm still looking for a co-host, male or female. I could get an animal, a cat, a dog, if you happen to have one that talks. You know, I don't care, a bird. Anyway, I still need a co-host, and I'm working on it because I like to. I don't mind doing this by myself, but it's so much more fun and much more interesting with a co-host, don't you think? Okay, so the contest is still going. We have a contest every month, you know, on a regular basis. Everybody wins. Everybody who enters wins. That is, all you have to do is you enter, you automatically get something back if you won, and you get you follow the link, and it lets you enter. You enter your user ID and password and everything, free lifetime membership. Immediately, you'll get my Don't Panic, It's Organic in the ebook form. You'll get that right away. And then you can also download all the other 21 books that I have, ebooks. Now, Don't Panic one, the way I do it is the current one is always the printed one. Then they should go into ebooks. So now I have all these other ebooks which are no longer being printed, but I do have the new one which is being printed, Don't Panic, It's Organic. And of course, you get that in ebook. So members get all those ebooks. They get the members' podcast, lots of member benefits. You get that from my website, invisiblegardener.com. Sign up to get the newsletter, which will fill you in on everything that's going on, the contest, what you win. And that's how you enter the contest, too. You'll say, enter me in the contest. Okay, so that's a contest. I also said the newsletter. So that's the newsletter is important because I do stuff all the time. I'm getting some Don't Panic, It's Organic t-shirts, getting the cups going back, going again, the bumper sticker. It says Don't Panic, It's Organic on it. And then, of course, I always have I have a sale every once in a while on my products. My super seaweed right now is on 50%. I think it's a 50% discount. This month's contest, you're going to get my grower's kit. My grower's kit is called Invisible Gardener's Grower's Kit. And in the kit, you get a quart of super seaweed. That's $150 by itself. That's one of the things I talk about in terms of the products that I use in making super seaweed. I can tell you every single product except one, which that means you can get everything except for one thing that I make the super seaweed with, because you can't buy that. It's a special microbe that I either discovered or ran across or just found. But there is a way that you can get that, because actually, I'll tell you, when you get the super seaweed, you're actually getting that, and you can use the super seaweed that you buy from me to add to your mixers and make more of it. See, okay, I told you, right? Okay, let's see. Anybody wants to talk to me, the other way you get entered in the contest automatically is you can call me and talk to me. Make sure that when you call me, I'm not sure how we're going to do that, because I can enter you in the contest right away, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to get your email address. It's much easier if you just emailed me, right? So all you have to do is say, I called you on the radio show. Hi, this is Louise or Johnny or Billy. Oh, yeah, how you doing, right? And you don't even have to actually call me. You email me, right? I'm sorry. You email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Tell me that you was a guest, and I'm happy to send you the link that says you have won. Ideal way to get you is to get you into the system, so that if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll be on my mailing list. See, and then when you become a member, you get upgraded to membership grade, which allows you to get all my member benefits. See, right, and that way you can just plug right in. And the same thing with if you have any questions. If you have any questions, any gardening questions, any spiritual questions, and metaphysical questions. You know, I get all kinds of questions. I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I have helped people in the past. Let's see, everything okay here? Yeah, well, you know, hey. So you can also call me. So I was going to give out your number. The number here, it's 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number. That means you don't have to pay a toll. To whom the bell tolls. I should have a bell that I can ring, shouldn't I? I do have a bell I could ring. I suppose I shouldn't be doing special effects, right? That's not right for me to do special effects. That wouldn't work, right? I couldn't do that. I would love to do special effects. I mean, just to have, maybe in my next show I'll start to do. I don't know if you all think I could do special effects. Would that be okay? Because I when I did one of my earlier shows, I always had all kinds of special effects. That's why I have so many of them. I have this. Oh, this one. I love this one, see. Okay, next. Isn't that nice? Hear it? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Stop that. Okay. So it's 888-627-6008. To talk to me. We also have a direct line, 323-744-4831. And of course, since we use Skype, we're all Skypers here, you can call us directly on the show. It's BBS Radio PR. And remember, my email is andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. I tell it to you and people connect, but quite often what happens is they spell it wrong. And so, and also too, what happens, and I'm trying to explain to you all, if you send me an email out of the blue, it's going to go right into the junk box, which is what you guys do at home too. You know, it goes right into your junk box, unless you tell it it's not junk. And it's much easier. And I have, believe me, I have way too much junk in my junk box. I mean, after the first few hundred, I start deleting. I do like mass deletion. I can maybe just see in the title, look through. If I see anything that looks interesting, like should be, you know, I should answer. Otherwise, I'm just going to delete them all. And so, if you insist on sending me something and you want to take the chance on me finding it in the email, then write a BBS radio show on the subject or the whatever the I think it's the subject or the title that So that's what I would see. But I the preferred way is for you to go to my website, sign up for the newsletter. Once you get the newsletter, you get automatically get put on my mailing list, you see, and then you can click on, enter me in the contest right through there. You can also send me email because you'll be on my mailing list, and I'll be able to correspond to you in the email. I don't mind talking to you on the email. A lot of times, if you send me email, members send me email, and then I just email them back. But I also either use it as part of my column. I write columns for various different publications. I've been doing them for many, many years, and my source of information that guides me to write what am I going to write about is my listeners, people who read it, or my radio show listeners. When they have questions, they usually end up as part of my column. See? Okay. Let's see next. So let's see. So it's better if you're going to communicate with me, it's better if you go through the system I have set up, so which separates the junk mail and separates the members and my general audience. You see? So if you're on a newsletter, you get my newsletter from me. That means that your email goes into a box that says newsletter, right? Your member, the email goes in a box that says member. Otherwise, it goes into the junk box or whatever other type of business relationship I have. Okay, so let's see. Let's see. So where are we? Yeah. So today, I got a bunch of couple of things I'm going to go over with you. First thing, I've been, I talked a lot about bricks. Okay, and what's interesting about the whole brick thing, right? I'm going to take this headphone off since I don't need to hear the engineer anymore. No offense, Don. If you need to talk to me, Don, just type it in right over there. Even if I know Don, he goes outside, enjoys the day. It's okay. So I have several refractometers that I use. I have four of them. I don't know why I have four of them. I just end up with four of them. And I have one was given to me by the actual owner of the company, which happens to be the same company that makes those cameras, a Leica. And so they also make a wonderful, little bit expensive, refractometer. But it works, and I've had it since I don't, at least 10 years, maybe 20 years, I would say. I don't want to go too far back. I don't remember if I had a refractometer when I came to Malibu in 84. I probably did, maybe not that one, or maybe I did have that one. Like I said, it goes way back. I started doing my radio shows in 1970, 68, 69. I did radio. I was in Armed Forces Radio Show. This is my, I used to do. Leroy's Golden Rocks, and this was my voice. You're listening to KNDY, I'm of the Good Guys. That was my radio show voice. But when I got out of the Navy, I continued, like doing the radio, so I started doing my own radio show in 1970. Somewhere along in there, I was talking about minerals, right? And how can you tell if a plant is healthy? In terms of, because if it's healthy, it'll have all their minerals in it. And then you want to know if what you're doing is. If that's the right, it's the right thing. So if you're feeding it, fertilizing it, you want to know that what you're doing is working, and that the plant is getting all the minerals it needs. And I know that if a plant's get all the minerals it needs, and it's happy and it's not stressed out, nothing's going to attack it. It's going to sit right there. The bugs will be looking for it. Nope, we're not going to go there. We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to find something that's food for us. And I've always known that, and so I always wanted to. And I talk a lot about that in terms of how one. I often think that a good gardener, male or female, it's really a like a neuropath, a person that's in touch with other people's energy, other energies. That's what a healer does. The healer would not only be in touch with another person's energy, but help the other person's energy, right? I'm sure there's a name for different methods of being in touch. With other people and get to feeling and understand them without even talking to them. So a good gardener is it's very much like that, because visually there are visual indications if a plant's doing well. They're emotional. There's electromagnetic indications. There's all type of indications as to whether a plant's healthy or not. And you know, and for many years, I went on the on my internal indications, right? What I saw, what I felt was the problem with the plant, what my understanding of what was going on around it, you know, knowledge of it, to try to solve that problem and help it get better. And I was always the type of guy that, when I saw on TV that said, "Well, you got weeds there, spray this." I'm going, "Yeah, that's going to really." And you, I told him, I thought the guy's picking on the weeds, right? Because you know, whose fault was it? It was the weeds right there. As a matter of fact, the weeds was telling me that there's some what's going on in that soil. I learned from experience that weeds are. Weeds only in name. We gave them the name. We call them weeds because to us weeds are plants that should not be where we don't want them to be. Whereas that plant is genetically built to be there for that reason. I tell people weeds grow in mineral deficient soil. You can tell what mineral is deficient by what weeds grow. Duh. And that's what the job of the weeds do. If you call them weeds, they're just basically native type plants that are there that have evolved through all the millions of years there, and when the soil is depleted in certain minerals, they come up, and what they do is their roots go down to where their minerals is. They have with them certain type of microbial life that lives with this particular type of weeds, and they go after that particular type of mineral, and it transforms. They eat the mineral up. The weed then takes it into its body. The weeds. Takes it further, transfers it over to his leaves, all the parts of it. When the weed dies, there goes the minerals right back to the surface. See? Right? And the reed has root systems that go down, they aerate the soil, it pulls up the minerals. It doesn't pull up the minerals. The bacteria living on the root hairs of the weeds break down the minerals and eat it. And they're specialized microbes for specialized minerals. See what I'm saying? Everything's very specialized. You know, it's not like one microbe will eat everything. You have a microbe that's into iron, a microbe that's into, well, the enzymes are microbes or bacteria. They're basically the same thing, little tiny little beings. And they're specific in what they have evolved to eat. And all of them use carbon in one form or another to form carbonic acid or some form of acid. Because different minerals, carbonic acid does not dissolve everything, right? Different. So there are different types of acid that will dissolve different types of minerals. Because that's the whole thing. The whole thing is a major recycling program, see? And the way it's all set up is recycling all the minerals through our bodies, and then when we dive back in again, it's really amazing, okay? It's a big, giant recycling system. See what I'm saying? And so when I look at stuff, I would say, okay, why are those plants there? And I wouldn't call them weeds. I'm calling weeds for you because you relate to the weeds, but you think of whatever plant that's growing there, they all have different names. Depends on what part of the country you're living in. Maybe sometimes the same plants call different things. My experience has been that my mom will call something in Spanish. It would be a different name, of course, in Spanish, but my dad would call it something else in his Spanish from Cuba. My mom would call it something else in her Spanish from Puerto Rico. The Jamaicans would call it something else in their language. It would be like, and it's the same plant. And but so I, because I remember I used to give a nature walk in Putney, Vermont. And one of the things I did was to tell people the condition of the forest, so to speak, by the plants and or fungi and mushrooms that grew there. Okay, and so I could tell people, I'd say, well, this soil here has an alkaline pH or an acid pH. And the reason why I would say that is because this particular plant and this plant grow here. That particular plant, as many people consider it a weed, but actually is there to bring up iron to the surface, and when it dies, it puts the iron back, or carb, or whatever other mineral for it to be. And usually, there's like over 96 different trace minerals, and it's not a coincidence that we as humans also need the 96 different trace minerals. The insects need the 96 different trace minerals, and or the different types of insects depending on different levels, different types of minerals. The whole mineral thing is insects and minerals are very heavily interwoven, just like human beings and plants and animals are, but different degrees. And that's how come I found out how I can control bugs on plants, because they're very, you know, they react to the presence of certain minerals or the absence of certain minerals, right? Absence is the same thing as the presence, right? If that mineral is there, it's present. You take it away, they like that. If that mineral is there, they respond to it differently than the plant or the animal or whatever. We're talking about plants now. Has it, right? Understand, right? And one of the tools, as I was saying before, for me, before I learned about tools, my body was my tool, my knowledge, my understanding of how things grow, and plays a big, important part. I can do dowsing. I started using dowsing tools. I don't need dowsing tools because my body is the tool. But the problem is to explain to other people what my tool, right, what my body is telling me. Because if I go to somebody's property and they say, what do you think is wrong with that? And I say, well, I think this is what's going on with that property. And they would go, that's just your opinion. I go, true, 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 that's my opinion. So tools are cool because you say, look, here's a tool. Doesn't know me, doesn't know you. That tool says this, then it's true. As long as the tool is calibrated correctly, right? You understand, right? Okay, so that's what a refractometer did to me, in the sense that it helped me to show people what I was saying. Okay, and it's also a great tool for any farmer or gardener to use, because it tells you if there's something wrong. It tells you if you're doing something right. Now, Brix is a level measurement of sugar. It was invented by a person, he's a cook and a scientist named Abe, A-B-B-Y, I think, Abby. That may be wrong. I don't have the current information with me right now, but I believe that's what it is. I just finished writing a little article about it not too long ago. I forgot his name, but I do know that he is a a scientist, a famous scientist, and he also happened to be a cook. And so he invented, EMAT. It's Ernest Abe. Okay, Ernest Abe. It sounds like Honest Abe, but his name is Ernest. E-R-N-S-T Abe, A-B-B-E, right? And he's a scientist, but he was also a really good cook. And one of the things about cooking is when you go shopping, I mentioned this before, you go shopping. I know that when I was a kid, I used to go shopping with my mom. She went to the grocery store, and she used to, in the beginning, she'd take a piece of fruit and nibble on it. If she didn't like it, she would throw it away. And the guy said, no, you can't do that. You bought it. I said, well, how am I going to buy it if I can't tell if it's sweet? If it's not sweet, I'm not going to buy it. So the grocer would then start slicing them up and putting them there fresh for her, or, you know, for the customer. And he learned if you sliced it, a few people would eat it. They liked it, they would buy it. If they didn't like it, they didn't like it, and buy it. And the reason why they liked it, because it was sweet. She would buy it if it was sweet. That's the way we have evolved. We have evolved to eat sweet things and avoid sour, bitter things, because they usually were toxic to kill us. Sweet things doesn't kill you. That's the basic logic of it. That's the way everything is set up. Even the insects and the birds and the bees all are geared to this for different reasons. The birds and the bees and animals like us and humans like us are geared to that sweetness because it also brings us the minerals we need. The insects, on the other hand, certain insects are geared to that because they know if the indications are that the minerals are not there, it's perfect for them, and this is a perfect environment for them. Because that's their job. Their job is to recycle living things, in their case, plants, that are going down in health. They're going to die. They're just degrading and not healthy. See? That way eliminates the unhealthy one. You have the healthy one surviving. That's their job. And the way they can tell, rather than give you a form, have you fill out this form and they say, oh, you're not healthy, is that they have evolved to understand when a plant is having a trace mineral deficiency. And they have evolved because you can see it. You can see it. The eyes of the insects are really, really very interesting because they see in the far ranges of the infrared and the ultraviolet. And there's some of us humans, like myself, we see in the same far range. You can actually see the difference in a healthy plant and see the difference in an unhealthy plant. And the difference is the minerals. And the minerals also relate to a certain color. That's what a refractometer does. See? A refractometer is really a device that's used to tell scientists the elements of other planets and stars. They look through it. It's a giant, because they, you know, what he invented turned out to be useful for any number of things. Have refractometer measures your, tells you what's going on in your blood. Refractometer for the stars, right? Like telescopes, giant refractometers that take in the light and break it out and say, okay, this planet is made of these things, or the star is made of this, or whatever, a comet or whatever. These are the elements that has in it. And it's used in many industries to be able to make their mixtures. And it's definitely used in winemaking, definitely used in farming, definitely used in medicine. And it's used a wide range of things, right? That's what a refractometer is. And but we have to have that tool in order to see it, but not really. You could, insects and birds and other creatures can have the ability to see that range of color, that, and also has a certain sound, because the color is identical to a certain frequency. To that frequency is it's the same thing as a certain sound, okay? And so and that's what that's the whole thing about the aura, the electromagnetic field around the body. They correspond to certain frequencies, certain colors, okay? And so that when you're healthy, you're giving off a certain frequency, a combination of colors, a combination of frequencies, because you have that same trace minerals. So when I have another show and I call it Cosmic Gardening. And that's where I try to explain the reason why we are actually, why everything wants these trace minerals in our body. Logically, you would say, well, we need it to build our bones and our bodies and eyes and everything is needed, the cells. Okay, yeah, that seems the logical reason. But the real reason, in a way, it didn't turn out by coincidence, is that we have these trace minerals absorb specific cosmic, I call it cosmic energies. Okay, and that's true. So what happens is, and I explained this before, and I'm sorry if I'm going over it again. I don't know sometimes if I, you know, if you understood what I was saying, but basically what happens is you have a cosmic ray that shoots through the Earth in a nanosecond. That's 1 billionth of a second in the Earth out to the other side. And that's going on all the time. We are constantly being bombarded by a wide variety of, quote, cosmic rays. These are different types of rays, whether it be gamma rays, whether it be specific high-frequency waves or low-frequency waves. I call them cosmic waves as a general term, because every time a star bursts or anything goes, it's nothing but electromagnetic fields everywhere. And they're all generating a wide variety of different frequencies, which go off into the space, and we're in a sea of frequencies, a sea of energy floating. We're floating through it. That's what, yeah, I can get more into it, but basically, when a cosmic ray shoots through the Earth and it also goes through that particular metal, that metal absorbs the frequency of that cosmic ray. The frequency or the energy or whatever you want to call it. There are many different scientists and many different religions and many different, all different parts of the world. They all give it different names, whether it be prana, whether it be chi, whether it be white, you know, so there are tons of different names. It's the same thing, okay? It's like the blind man and the elephant. The elephant is like a no. No, the elephant is like an ear. No, the elephant is like a trunk. No, no, you're all wrong. The elephant is like a tail. Right? Okay. So, and that's why we eat it. That's why we, all living things, get it, so that we can get that cosmic energy. We have evolved with that cosmic energy as part of our food source. That's really our main food source. And you'll see that we will, through our process of evolution, we will grow, gradually move out of physical bodies and into more etherical, astrophysical bodies, you know, that metaphysical body, whatever you want to call it, that are more in tune with the cosmic energy that we're doing. That's why everything, that's why I'm in my opinion, in the long run, if beings do evolve, they will evolve to the state. So that's one reason why we need the trace minerals. So in terms of being practical, in terms of saying, okay, this garden or this vegetable or this tomato or this tree is sick, something's wrong with it, and you want to determine what's wrong with it, a refractometer is a very easy tool to first tell you what's going on. A refractometer will tell you the Brix measurement of a tree or the Brix measurement of a leaf of grass or the Brix measurement of a flower or the Brix measurement of a fruit, or right? I don't think you're going to find too many people that has carried as far as I have. A lot of people use it for, you know, for beer and wine, and a lot of farmers, people use it for vegetables because it's real easy to use. And it's also, people use it for their fruit, right? So, you know, people who grow, whether it be citrus or oranges, mangoes, whatever the fruit is, very easy to do that. And you can, then it gives you some idea of what, if you're doing right, or in this case, if you're, what you're doing wrong. If something's not working and the trace mineral deficiency in the problems are, the Brix level is still low, not rising, staying at a certain point, then you know you have to do something different. But if it's at a really nice high point, you go, wow, that's great. Whatever it is I'm doing, it's working. And as I said, the secret, the key to it is, well, there are several different secrets, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in, that you can maybe consider it a secret, right? I don't consider it a secret. I just say that it's a little bit hidden from people don't understand that because it's dry in your face kind of thing, you know? And so, you know, that's why I got the name Invisible Gardener, because I like dealing with things that, even though, you know, the whole thing about you don't see the forest for the trees, or you don't see the tree for the forest. One of the other, one of those ways. Anyway, you're listening to Invisible Gardeners. Don't panic, it's organic. My name is Andy Lopez. I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. Here every Saturday, just for you. Okay, so the thing is that it has taken me all my life. I'm 70, and I started doing this in the sixth grade. And you were to ask me, what is the single most important thing you can get across to people before you kick the bucket, right? And this is it. And it has to do with the trace minerals, Brix levels, right? That's it. And one more thing, which I have already mentioned before, and this is the bottom line of why it works. Because you have to understand why does trace minerals offend insects, right? In the sense that if you have a lot of trace minerals, they're not going to attack you. Why? What's the deal with that, right? are they toxic to them? Is the trace minerals themselves are toxic to them? What does it do? What happens, right? And so I have discovered, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, and I'm hoping that there, you know, to be somebody out there who go, that's absolutely right. I'm professor, blah, blah, and this, you know, whatever. But it's actually one of those things that's in your face that people don't see, but they go, why didn't I think of that? And the thing, here's the thing. Okay, so it has to do with carbohydrates. Okay, because when I started it, I said, well, what's the difference between the plant that has all these trace minerals and the plant that doesn't have the trace minerals? What is the difference? Other than the fact, not as healthy, right? Okay, it's not healthy. But how does the trace minerals, okay, so you need the trace minerals to manufacture different parts of your body and do different things like that. Okay, so that doesn't, if you don't have that, that's not happening. Of course, it's going to look bad. But the bugs seem to know that too. The bugs, they say, well, that's, you know, so the bugs know that there's something going on with that plant and they attack it, other than maybe looks. Maybe the bugs are just going, the plant looks awful, I'm going to kill it. And they don't know or have any understanding that it happens to be trace mineral deficient. I'm pretty sure they don't say, oh, the Brix level is low, let's go eat it. But as it turns out, they have evolved. A certain nature has set it up in a certain specific way so that you're under control. And you can only function within how your genetic system allows you to function, and therefore you can control how it works. And it's really interesting too, because what happens is that insects love carbohydrates, but they love a specific type of carbohydrate. It's called simple carbohydrate. And simple carbohydrates is a major food source for them, major source of energy for them. Think of insects that use a lot of insect, a lot of energy, right? Just burn right through it. So as it turns out, and this is my opinion, I don't have any way to back it up, something that I believe I have learned and come to the conclusion over the years. It's what I'm trying to get across to people, have somebody pick up and run with it. Maybe a scientist says, okay, let's do a study. Let's see what type of carbohydrates this plant would have and that plant would have and compare them. Let's do that organically. Let's do that conventionally and see which one it is. That's a little problem right there doing that, because you have to also, you can't let the scientist do it. The scientist has to get a regular conventional farmer to do this and an organic farmer to do that one. And they do the best they can, and then you can test it rather than the scientist being thinking they can just, because that's what they've done in the past. So the thing is that the insects go for carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates. So if the plant's deficient, and it's not all trace minerals, so you could be deficient in just one or two trace minerals. Remember, we need 96 different trace minerals. You would be deficient in one, which is, I call it exotic. And usually the exotics are the ones that cause problems, because there's always an abundance of iron, abundance of calcium. But even though, and then if you're deficient in calcium, there's certain things, the plant looks a certain way, and certain things happen to it in terms of bugs attacking it. And it's the same thing with deficient in iron, or the same thing deficient in whatever trace minerals. But all of them have the same effect, is that the plants produce simple carbohydrates. Now, there happens to be another type of carbohydrates, which is called complex carbohydrates. In the human body and animals, simple carbohydrates is very bad for them. See, it's the opposite, right? Instead of for insects, it's good for them, but for animals, it's bad for us. We're an animal. We love complex carbohydrates. Now, I was thinking, gee, why is it possible that a healthy plant produces some form of complex carbohydrates? The logic is you don't produce the complex carbohydrates. Plants don't, because they're not complex enough. They don't have enough of the cell structure and so forth to produce a complex variety of carbohydrates. I beg to differ. I believe that they're not as complex as, I think animals and humans, right, and other types of living beings have various degrees of complex carbohydrates that they use and various degree of how they deal with simple carbohydrates, right? Okay? Monkeys will have a different scenario with simple carbohydrates than us humans would. Just think about it, okay? So I believe that the healthy plant, whether it be a tree or otherwise, produces a form of complex carbohydrates. It's just complex enough that the insects go, pewy. I don't want it. Not for me. Get it? And that's the secret. That's the whole thing that I have taken almost, I was going to say 70 years of my life. I didn't start at year one, but I started pretty close. to hanging out with the plants and stuff like that. I mean, by the sixth grade, I had customers, So the sixth grade, I don't know how old I was. I can't remember now. I have the faintest idea. But the same thing by the time. But I didn't have official customers until I got out in 1970. When I had customers, I would just go do a few things here and there, do the yard for a few people, do my backyard, that kind of stuff. So it didn't really, wasn't a business until 1970. So when I got out of the service, I formed a church, Asterisk Garden, and I formed a living Institute of Survival Technology, which then I operate the Invisible Gardener. Now I run the business is called Invisible Gardener Inc. And so one of the things that I've learned is that, okay, so trace minerals, okay, so trace minerals are the key to these healthy plants, which is the key to their Brix level being high. And insects don't read Brix. They read the energy that the insects give off, the plants give off, which also happens to correlate to their Brix level, right? Okay, and the refractometer is an excellent tool. You can get a refractometer for any of the usual places. You can go to Amazon, right? Look up a refractometer. As I said before, I have four refractometers. One's $10,000, one is $300, one is $100, and one costs me $30. And believe it or not, they all do the same reading. The difference with a $300 one is that it's a digital one. A little bit more picky to work with. You can't get wet. You can't do it in the full sun because you can't read it, right? You have to do it in indoors somewhere, in a car or in the house somewhere. It's a digital one. The other ones are analog. That means that they have a bar with lines going across and a dark and a white, a dark on top and a white where they meet, that in the lines and the numbers. That's the brick level. The $30 one works just as well as the $100 one, and it's just the same reading as the $10,000 one, which is also an analog. The $30 one was for beer, right? The $100 one was for wine. Okay, there are many different types of refractometer for many different things, but all you got to do is say a refractometer for beer. Get the $30 one. It'll do you just fine. You get a really good idea because you can use that for all varieties of in your garden, whether it be whether you're using it for your fruit trees or whether you're using it on lettuces. And again, it's really, really easy to do. The refractometer has a lid. You open, flip the lid open. There's a little plate right there. You're supposed to put the liquid of the plant. So if you have a fruit, you can put a drop of the fruit in there, the drop of the tomato, for example, right? Or whatever fruit. You can also measure the plant itself. So you can take a tomato leaf, you could put it in a little motor, crush it. Not with your finger or nothing, but usually a motor has a little pedestal you can crush with, right? Until you get the juice out of it, squeeze the juice onto, or let the juice drop onto, it'll be green, let it drop onto the plate, right? And you put the lid back on and you point the refractometer to the light, and you'll see that black line will change. The top and the top is white and the bottom is black and where they meet. And so you'll see that there are numbers along the side that tells you the number, like a ladder. And if it has 20, 23, 12, let's assume you're doing your tomatoes and you're testing your tomatoes. Usually one of the easiest things people do because it's just drop. Put a drop of the tomato juice, right, of the tomato onto the thing. And there's a tomato should be, ideally should be 28 or higher. If it's on 20, you're it's not as healthy as you want to do. Anything lower than that, if it drops, it's awful. You get attacked by one thing or another. It just doesn't have the minerals in it. A lot of times the chemically grown stuff will look really fantastic. But it's been pushed by nitrogen, and you do a bricks reading, and it's like 10. You know, you're lucky if it has 10 on it. And you go, well, there's nothing in there for me to eat that I want. Okay? And it's been sprayed, chemically grown, conventionally grown. But you can also test the plant. You take the leaf of the tomato, crush it into a little motor, take the green juice, put it in a drop. You'll have different readings. One tells you the sugar level of the fruit itself, right, which is usually sweeter than the actual plant. But the other one tells you the condition of the plant. You're not looking for how sweet a tomato leaf is. You're looking to see what type of minerals it has in it. Okay, and that's a little slightly different. There's different things you have to understand because it does measure sugar level. You can take a fruit and let it and do a Brix reading on it, and then let it ripen and do a Brix reading, and you'll be sweeter. And you see, oh, the Brix level is rising because it also measures sugar levels. See what I'm saying? So yeah, there's some complexities you have to understand about the, but you're trying to understand what the minerals is, the trace minerals. And if you kept the chart, you'll see. After a while, there's a booklet you can get from me on my website. That's free. It's about Brix, and it has the charts of all the different suggested Brix levels of plants and vegetables. And you can get really good at it because after a while you don't need the refractometer to determine. You don't need to look and see if this vegetable you're eating is delicious or not, right? You know, but you can look if you want to, and they're also very helpful for other people just to show them. A farmer, I know lots of farmers who have a refractometer. They say, "Look here," and you look at it, and you go, "Yep, I'll take it," without even having to do anything to it. You know, one tomato will last them for a few hours anyway. Ideally, you need to take a tomato and you do the refractometer reading within the hour, you know, because the measurements would change radically as it rots, as it ripens and rots, it changes the ferment, you know, just like with wine and stuff like that. And so, the key there, and there's still one more step that you need to understand about, right? There's one more thing you need to go with. And say, okay, How do I get the trace mineral? How does the trace mineral get to these plants, right? If if in nature it's been set up already, you don't have to do anything. How does that happen? Because we seem to be screwing up. We're not giving the plants the trace mineral. Chemicals, fertilizers are not the way to go. They damage the health of the soil. I'm always talking about the health of the soil, the living organisms in the soil, the mycorrhiza in the soil. And that's how the trace minerals they get to the plants. In the beginning, when I started doing, when I first was reading Rodale, Organic Gardening, they always say, feed the soil. I go, what do you mean, feed the soil? There's nothing there. And, oh, wait a minute, there is this. So then I realized that I think I either looked through a microscope or saw a TV program in my youth about all the teeming unseen organisms, right? That are in the soil, that are in the plants, that are in everywhere. I said, cool, that's what you mean by feed the soil. You're feeding these organisms. And even then, it wasn't entirely correct because it wasn't feeding. You're feeding the mycorrhiza. The mycorrhiza is an entirely different organism than a little tiny creature running around. Okay. And normally the mycorrhiza, you don't have to feed it because it feeds itself. It's part of the recycling system in nature. When animals die, they get recycled back again. When trees, plants die, they get recycled back again. And when your animal drops its poops, it's part of the recycling program. And that used to be the way it was set up until mankind came along and destroyed 90% of all the living animals. And it's in the process of doing that, killing the rest of the 5%, not to mention, it's a good 60, 50% of the trees and plants already are going. But the mycorrhiza, in terms of mycorrhiza, plays a very important part in everything in our lives. It plays a very important part in climate change and carbon. I can't even pronounce it. It's basically capturing carbon, right, and using it. As I said, these microbes use carbon to form carbonic acid, which then eats the elements, the minerals, and then makes it into a form that the plants can absorb. That plants absorb it through the root hairs. That's where they live, generate the root hairs of trees, of plants. They're also part of the communication system. One plant can communicate, one tree or plant can communicate with another plant or tree. Our forest communicates with each other, how they feed each other, because it's a mycorrhiza that does that, right? The internet of the soil, right? And so we've done nothing but damage the soil in so many different ways, and so many different toxins. Everything we do is generates a toxic waste. Plastic is toxic. Nuclear waste is toxic. And you name all the fertilizers we've been dumping into the soil. That's toxic. So that does nothing but damage the mycorrhiza, damage all the living organisms in there, and basically forces you to eat, become addicted to the toxin. So high nitrogen fertilizer, chemical fertilizer, it's like cocaine. So I call it cocaine for the soil. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come down from that. It stresses you out. It weakens your body, and the whole system is meant to recycle the stressed and weakened. The wolf is meant to chase after the sick, weak sheep. The wolf is not going to go, look at that healthy sheep over there. I think I'm going to spend my whole day chasing after that sheep. When the wolves go, whoa, look at that unhealthy sheep over there. It's weak. It's not doing too well. I'm going to do my job, eat that one. Everybody else may not be happy at first, but I'm happy, and they'll be happy too. See what I'm saying? So that's why I concentrate a lot on healing the soil. That's what my whole business model is based upon. I tell people I don't fertilize; the soil fertilizes. I basically feed the soil, and what you feed the soil is two things. You want to encourage more of the mycorrhizas to live there. Remember, they're being killed off left and right. So you want to import more of their armies, right? And you want to provide them with the trace minerals. That's why I'm always buying a wide variety of products that has the mycorrhiza and also the beneficial bacteria and the various different other types of organisms that are needed, right, in the soil that should normally be found in the soil. And that's all very complicated too, because like I said before, around the world, they have different types of mycorrhiza. The same organism has evolved into different for different niches. So trees, when the redwood forest of California has a different organism living there, different form of mycorrhizae living there, than the Joshua tree desert trees do, right? Then they also have a different form of bacteria than whatever other trees in whatever palms in Hawaii or whatever other trees in whatever part of the world. They're different. And one of the problems we have here in modern man is that we're taking plants from all over the world, growing them in one space that normally would be in different places, and they have evolved for different type of microorganisms in growing in their hair, root hairs. And there are some factions of people who study the soil, and they say, well, they will basically fight each other. Whoever is the strongest would win. I don't believe that. I believe that. Since they're all, it's like my right hand does not fight my left hand, okay? Let's think about that. So I don't have that much time left, so I'm going to tell you a couple of products that I buy and use. One is called Orca, O-R-C-A, Orca, like the fish, Orca, right? You look it up. You can get it from Amazon, eBay, lots of places on the internet. This has... mycorrhizae fungi and beneficial bacteria. They have endomycorrhizae. There's endo and ectomycorrhizae. This particular one has endomycorrhizae and has four different forms of endomycorrhizae in about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 20 different bacteria, right? It's called Orca. It's a liquid one, a liquid form. That's how I make one of the things I add to my super seaweed. Another thing that I use is called Bigfoot. It's a concentrated mycorrhizae, right? It's called Bigfoot. And this particular one comes with biochar, which I talk a lot about biochar. The Chinese have been doing biochar for centuries. It's bamboo that they make a char of. And then this also has kelp in it, has worm castings and humic acid. Okay, so this one's called Bigfoot mycorrhizae. And mycorrhizae is mycorrhizae. And some people say mycorrhizae. You'll find there are tons of different ones on the market, but you have to be real careful, and you have to at least make sure that they are OMRI certified, and that they're, you know, because they could have some other. I doubted they would have chemicals in it. I can't imagine adding chemicals to it. This particular one here has endomycorrhizae also. There's endo and ectomycorrhizae. I add both myself to it as well. And then there's one other product which is not part of the super seaweed. It's just another amazing product that I run across over my 1,000 years on this planet. And it's called bamboo vinegar. It's liquid bamboo vinegar. The particular one is Seek. That's the name of the company. S-E-E-K, liquid bamboo vinegar, and it's you can just look it up on the internet. Liquid bamboo vinegar, and the name of it is Seek. S-E-E-K, and liquid bamboo vinegar is it's an acid, but I use it for a variety of different reasons when we're talking about diseases on trees or on plants. It kills the disease on contact. You only need one 700th of it to work. So I do like maybe 10 ounces in 100 gallons of water easily works. It can also be used on as a foliar application. A lot of times there are different types of bad bacteria. They're called funguses and stuff like that. So it works really, really great on that. It also doesn't kill the microorganisms that I apply, that I use in my super seaweed mix. So it's a really, really great program. A great liquid to use. You'll find that it's not available in the stores, okay? But it's one of the things you can use it for as well is to help the soil come back. Because I tell people that when you destroy the beneficial in the soil, the bad guys move in first. And so if you want the bad guys to leave and the beneficials to come back, you have to do something to get rid of the bad guys. And there are lots of ways to do that. One of the ways, of course, is you make good compost. You apply the compost, and compost will eventually win out from the beneficials, right? They'll win out the bad guys. They'll, you know, then let the beneficial move in. So I use it to when I first a lot of times when I go to a new customer, I want to clean, you know, help the new guys to move in. So I would spray the bamboo vinegar, not just straight, but with the super seaweed in the mix in the 100 gallons. You have to be, you know, if you add too much of the bamboo mixture to the seaweed, you sterilize everything. But you only need it like a homeopathic medicine, and so it's called Seek liquid bamboo vinegar. And then next week I'm going to be talking to you about two or three more of the products that I have. I'm going to bring in a couple of my rock dust products. I can tell you their name. A lot of these things you can just type in the name onto the internet, and you'll get the products out. You won't get them from me. I'm not selling it. And one of the sources I was going to tell you about is the rock dust sources that I get. It's called Down to Earth. Down to Earth. And it's not open to the general public. So if you have a store or if you have a commercial license, you know, if you're an arborist or a gardener, you should be able to buy it. It's called Down to Earth. If you can't get it and you have a good relationship with your local nursery, they can get it for you. That's what I did in one place. I said, look, you can, he said, where do we get the rock dust? I said, call this place, get an, open an account with them. They'll ship it to you. They sell it to you at a good wholesale rate. You can retail it, and they've been selling it ever since. So thank you very much for listening to my show. I think I have another 3 minutes to go. Let's see. There you go. Another 3 minutes to go. So visit my website, invisiblegardener.com. Right? Make sure you spell gardener right. It's gardener, GARDENER.com. Sign up to get my newsletter, and then enter the contest. You will become an immediate winner. You get a lifetime membership, and you have access to my all my books. That's too long. There you go. Access to all my books, and then you have access, direct access to me. I won't charge you a penny to help you. I'm an organic consultant. I charge a lot of money for my time, except for this. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I love doing it. I've been doing it forever. So coming up next is my radio show that I do, and I call it Cosmic Spaceship. And I play my music and that I write for the week, plus some old stuff that I've been writing in the past. And you get a podcast for both. You can get a podcast for this show by coming here to the station or coming to my website or any place that you get a podcast from. But it's easy as you just go to either my website, invisiblegardener.com, click on radio show, podcast, or you can go to bbsradio.com. And click on the podcast button there for my show. Look for my show. It's bbsradio.com/ don't panic, it's organic. Let me do this. Okay, here you go. No?
Attention gardeners, how would you like to learn how to get rid of unwanted pests like ants and mosquitoes without using harmful pesticides? With the growing concern about West Nile virus, killer bees, and the use of synthetic pesticides, there is a better way. Go to www.invisiblegardener.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, provides alternatives to chemical products using natural ingredients you may already have at home. Do you have gardening questions or problems? Get the help you need at www.invisiblegardener.com. Join the Invisible Gardeners of America and take their online gardening classes. The Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too. Visit www.invisiblegardener.com. You can talk directly to him about your gardening questions right here on The Invisible Gardener every Saturday morning. And you can reach Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, anytime at www.invisiblegardener.com. Check it out on the website. That's www.invisiblegardener.com. www.invisiblegardener.com.
Hi, this is Andy. Make sure you go to Invisible Gardener. That's
the Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too.
Yeah. All right, guys, so we're going to go. See you next week. Happy growing organically, of course. And hang out for my radio show because I'll be right back, okay?